The Constitution declares that our governing document is for us and our posterity. Would not future generations, including the unborn, be a part of that posterity? The Declaration of Independence, upon which, of course, the Constitution is predicated, says that God has given us many rights, including the right to life. But abortion is at war with that right to life. Well, fast forward to today. Ever since the pro-abortion decision of Roe v. Wade, abortion has been on the ballot, even in many conservative states, after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Amazingly, it seems that Americans have been voting for the pro-abortion position, not the pro-life position. This has happened in Kansas. This has happened in Ohio. What is going on? Eric Scheidler is the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. He's one of the most well-informed persons in the whole pro-life movement today in America. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome him back to the program. Eric, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, especially to talk about such an urgent matter.
Yeah, I bet you there's a lot of Republican people out there that are thinking, you know what, I used to think that being pro-life is a winning position. Now I'm going to rethink it because all I care really about is politics. Of course, they don't say these things, but that's really kind of the reality. But one could easily think that, oh, being pro-life is a liability, not an asset when it comes to politics. Not that's why we should be pro-life, but I just want your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a complicated issue, and I think we have to be really careful to step back and fully understand what's going on before we, you know, begin to despair, you know, worrying too much about the way that these things are going. We should be absolutely concerned, but I think it might be helpful to look at the most recent of these ballot initiatives in Ohio. Ohio has been known as a pretty pro-life state. It's generally considered to be what they call a red state, pretty solidly votes Republican in national elections, and tends to be represented by Republicans in Congress, and, you know, has a reputation for being a very pro-life state. And yet voters in Ohio adopted this horrible constitutional amendment that enshrines abortion as a right in their state. To you and I, that just seems just inexplicable and unconscionable, because we know that many of the people who voted in favor of that amendment don't actually believe in the complete unfettered access to abortion that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and the Democratic Party are all seeking. Americans generally want to see a much more moderate policy on abortion. But voters in Ohio saw the whole issue differently. They thought that what they were being presented with was a choice between an extreme abortion limit of 6 weeks. There was that horrific story we all heard about of a 10-year-old girl who was taken from Ohio to Indiana for an abortion because she had been sexually abused by a family member, and they had that in their minds, and they weren't realizing how extreme this policy really was, because they were just thinking about that. Much more rigid six-week ban. Now, the six-week ban was only in force in Ohio for a very short time. It was enjoined by the courts. It's not currently in force. And yet that was what Ohio voters saw. The choice was before them. You know, the sad thing for us is that, you know, parents in Ohio, they were being told the truth, which was that if they passed this constitutional amendment, then their daughters will be able – their 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old daughters will be able to get abortions without them ever even knowing about it. It would completely strip away Ohio's parental involvement law, which is very broadly supported by the voters of Ohio and by Americans in general. But it turns out that if the choice was between your daughter never being able to get an abortion if she's a victim of rape or hardly ever – and your daughter being able to get the abortion secretly, they chose, let my daughter get the abortion secretly. At the end of the day, Ohio parents would rather not know about a daughter's abortion and make sure she can get it than risk her not being able to get an abortion at all. That's the reality now that we pro-life Christians have got to confront. If we're offering voters a choice between, a heartbeat ban and total abortion, they will choose total abortion. And we're going to have to bear that in mind going forward, especially in states like Missouri, where we see another referendum coming next year.
Wow. So what is your recommendation to the Right to Life movement? And by the way, I never would have thought, you know, pre-Dobbs, before the Dobbs decision overturned Roe v. Wade, I never would have thought we would see such backwards steps, you know, moving towards more abortions in America, not less.
Yeah, well, the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood, the Democratic Party, and the media are really exploiting the American people to try to enshrine an even more extreme policy than Roe v. Wade was. And people don't realize this. Roe v. Wade was extreme. In the whole world, there are only a handful of countries that allowed the kind of access to abortion that the United States did. North Korea, China, Canada, the Netherlands, there aren't many countries on that list. Most Americans embrace an actual policy that's closer to what most of Europe has, which is limiting abortion at, you know, 12 weeks or 15 weeks or something like that, rather than, you know, all the way into the third trimester of pregnancy. But the voters didn't know it. People did not know this. We tried for years to educate them about what Roe v. Wade really said. And so our opponents are using this opportunity to basically move beyond even where Roe v. Wade was. A state like Illinois has a much broader abortion license than even Roe versus Wade envisions. I mean, they're pushing abortion with everything that they've got. My advice, my strong message to the state of Missouri and to other states where this issue is coming is to put the focus on the unborn child. There's been too much pretending that this is not about abortion. In Ohio, they probably foolishly decided to try to change the rules for ballot initiatives so that you'd have to have 60% instead of 50% during their primary back in August. I think that turned a lot of people off. You know, if you guys are really so confident in your position, why are you trying to change the rules of the game? I think is what Ohio voters were thinking. And then they put the focus on a sort of parents' rights perspective. They really emphasized, if you vote for this, your daughter will be able to get an abortion and you'll never know about it. That did concern parents, but not enough. Not enough for them to pull the lever against that massive change in abortion in their state. And so I think we need to try to put the focus where it really belongs, which is on the unborn child. Abortion is wrong, not just because it makes some women unhappy and depressed and miserable and filled with shame, not just because some parents disapprove of a child's abortion, not just because taxpayers don't want to pay for abortions. What makes abortion wrong and why it's a matter for our law to consider at all is that it is the violent destruction of innocent human life. We need to show that. We need to tell that story. We need to talk about these children whose lives are being cut short. That's the advice that that I'm drawing from what happened in Ohio. That's what my good friend Mark Harrington from Created Equal, a national group based in Ohio, is urging. And I pray that that's the strategy that the folks in Missouri, the next state on the list, will be taking to heart. Not just trying to kind of make this about voter self-interest, but really invite voters to care about unborn babies whose bodies are ripped to shreds by abortion suction tubes by the thousands every day.
Has there been a victory on the pro-life side post-Dobbs, which again overturned Roe v. Wade? And I do know that some pro-life governors like Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott won heartily at the box office, and that was post-Dobbs. But other than that, and there may be some others, victories
yeah.
like that, but give us some good give us some hope here.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, we've got over a dozen states now that are protecting unborn babies in the law, including a very firm measure that was established in the state of Indiana. We've got a 6-week ban in the state of Florida. Now, that's very important because Florida had one of the highest abortion rates in the country.
That ban, by the way, is being held up in the courts, right? I mean,
right.
It's not in
yeah.
effect at this moment.
They have a 15-week ban that they passed earlier, and then there's a 6-week ban. Of course, they might be facing a ballot initiative as well. So we may begin to just as a strategic matter, not as a matter of the moral right, but as a strategic matter, You know, it may prove that that 6-week ban is going to come back to bite them there in Florida. We'll have to see how things go there. But we've had strong measures against abortion enacted in states all over the country. There's a few more states that are still litigating. You know, Florida, as you described, and Iowa is still working on it. So the list of states that protect unborn babies is going to continue to grow. And it's estimated that something like 32,000 lives have been saved. These are babies, my friends. These are infants who have been born over the last year and some months since Roe v. Wade was overturned due to these laws that have been able to be put in on the books in some states. That's 32,000 souls. That's 32,000 little babies, little baby boys and girls, about 16,000 baby boys and about the same number of baby girls who are living and breathing and thriving today because of that court ruling and the laws that were passed afterwards. So, you know, part of the strategy here from our opponents is to demoralize us. They found a way that they can kind of do an end run around the deliberation and serious, you know, weighing of matters that happens in our legislative bodies and just go to the masses, go to the mob and scare them with horror stories about, you know, children getting raped and lies about miscarriage treatment and ectopic pregnancies and other things like this, where they're, again, just exploiting people's fears and telling lies. And they're getting away with it so far. We are struggling to figure out the right strategy. A major factor involved in all this, of course, is that we're being massively outspent. But I don't want to emphasize that too much, because if we're being outspent, we have to ask why. Where are the pro-life dollars? Where are the pro-life millionaires and billionaires? They're out there. I'm not sure that they want to put their money behind what they see as a losing cause.
I can see your point, but I mean, honestly, there is a vested interest on the other side. I mean, Planned Parenthood makes a lot of money through abortions, and then they turn around and use a lot of that money for political purposes. I mean, that's just follow the money.
That's right. I mean, the amount of money being poured in by, you know, George Soros and others and, you know, donors to Planned Parenthood, the Democratic Party and all of it is a huge amount of money. We're never going to be able to match them. But our message is so much more compelling. It's so much truer than their message. We should be able to break through even if we don't have as much money. But if we're failing to raise the funds that we need to, we need to up our game and convince those big pro-life donors that we really have a winning message. I think Missouri is going to be really key. I feel like the folks in Missouri are going to learn by from the mistakes that have been made in other states, you know, an overemphasis on this parents' rights thing, not enough of an emphasis on the harm to the unborn baby and the harm to women from abortion. I know women's stories of regret. So we're going to have a lot of opportunities next year to try this out. Missouri is especially important, though.
Okay, we have 1 minute to wrap up and close things. And by the way, here's one thought for whatever it's worth. It seems like study after study shows that about 60% of the women who have abortions felt that they had no choice in the matter, so they felt compelled. So, you know, they have a voice too, don't they? 45 seconds, closing thought. And your website is prolifeaction.org, correct?
ProLifeAction.org. I think this issue of unwanted abortion is the most undercovered issue of the entire abortion topic right now. At least 60%, maybe 70% or more of women getting abortions say they feel coerced. There's someone who's pushing them or some factor that is pushing them towards an abortion that they don't want and that in fact goes against their own values. Can't we all agree, regardless of what our abstract position is, that unwanted abortion is something to be eliminated? The more we can talk about unwanted abortion and the more we share that fact with our friends and neighbors, look, most of the women getting abortions don't want them and think it's wrong. Why should we be pushing them to do something that they don't want to do?
Eric Scheidler.
That's a winning message.
Yes, excellent. Eric Scheidler, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you.